Calling to order meeting of the Kituit Fire District Board of Fire Commissioners, Wednesday, February 12th, 5:30 p.m. The meeting is being recorded by Amy Cates. Is there any public comment to begin? No? Okay. Review and approval of any previous meeting minutes. We have before us the meeting's minutes from January 14th. I have read them. You have read them?
Yes, I have. By the way, present, Commissioner Connolly.
Oh, yes, and Commissioner Pisano. Commissioner Zace is absent today.
Chief Root.
And Chief Root is present. Okay. I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes.
Motion to approve the minutes.
Second. All in favor?
Connolly.
Pisano. Okay, Chief is assigned.
Thank you.
Copy for the file. We begin with the Chief's report. The floor is yours, sir.
So for January, we're up with responses quite a bit. From the month before, up to 81. Two were fires. One was a controlled burn wet down at the cemetery, and one was a mutual aid structure fire at Mashpee. One hazardous condition call, which was a oil gas burner malfunction at the Cahoon Museum that created a smoke condition in the museum and set up the alarms after hours. 57 medicals and 21 good intent service and false alarm calls. Administration. We're currently working on some systems / software to improve purchasing bill processing. We're working on that. We'll have a further report on that in the near future. Mashpee Mutual Aid Report, I've included in the notes, the Mutual Aid Report to Mashpee. We've had a significant upturn in Mutual Aid to Mashpee starting in December. December 9th, Mashpee Fire Department announced they'll be down to two ambulances until mid-May. They turned back in an ambulance they were borrowing to Sandwich because they had mechanical issues with it. At that point in time, they dropped down to one ambulance because they got to deliver the new one, and they took up their second one out of service, so they were at one ambulance from December 9th to 12th, which resulted in a significant number of calls. I think we went there 14 times for the month of December, mutual aid. And then they remained at two ambulances after the 12th until January 13th when they had an accident with one of their ambulances, and they were down to one ambulance for 2.5 weeks. So from January 13th to February 3rd, which resulted in, again, a significant increase in mutual aid calls to them. I guess this has been a long-term process. Commissioner Connolly and I have been working with them to try to correct some. If you look at the three-year graphs, the last summer, last year, after we spoke with them in the spring, there was a significant improvement. But this past 2 months has been significantly worse. These are December and January are similar to the worst summer months that we typically go there for calls. So,
yeah, we don't have January on the graph, though, right?
January's not graphed. No, it would just have been a dot because it's a new chart, so I didn't put that on there. It was January was 13, so it's more than we've ever had for the month of January. Well, not whatever, but going back at least to 2015.
So in those 2 months, December and January, we had a total of 27 calls?
27 calls in less than a two-month period.
No, that's not sustainable.
So obviously some of that was a result of their problem with their second ambulance that they crashed.
Mm-hmm.
And at this point, I don't believe they've taken enough corrective action to solve our problems or solve the situation. So my suggestion, last time around, we approached the town manager,
right,
and scheduled a meeting with him and took the details to him. So it's my process at this time to do that again. I mean, we had successful results last time when we went. Things settled down a bit. I think we need to go to him this time and understand, you know, show him what we have. Also share with him some thoughts on options they had and continue to have to solve their problem, and then to discuss what the future would potentially look like in the event that the situation doesn't correct itself quickly and significantly.
Do you have thoughts about what that future might look like?
Could I suggest that that's probably something we want to have a conversation with him first before we have that conversation here, would be my suggestion, to see what his position is relative to that situation.
Do you know how quickly we can have this meeting with him?
I don't think it's going to take too long to have a meeting with him. They've got a resource allocation and just a general resource level issue here. And, Commissioner Conley and I have talked about some of the possible remedies of the situation. I think Mashpee knows what the remedies could be. And either they increase their resource level or deploy their resources in a different way, or we have to increase our resources, which results in a cost that someone's got to absorb. So that's the issue. I don't have any issue, I think, approaching them another time. And yeah,
my plan would be to reach out to them tomorrow.
Excellent. Let's get on it and hopefully have this clarified by the March meeting.
Absolutely.
Okay. Good.
We had a meeting, myself and Lieutenant McNamara went down to meet with the U.S. Coast Guard in Woods Hole on the 11th, which was yesterday. So several years ago, I think it was probably 5 or 6 years ago, the Coast Guard implemented a regional mutual aid ocean-based response plan where there was a sharing of information between Coast Guard and emergency responders, harbor masters, police, and fire, and a coordinated response with a coordinated communication plan. The system is kind of fallen a little bit to the wayside in the last year or so. Coast Guard has a rotation schedule where our service people regularly rotate out after a couple of years. So this rotation has resulted in a loss of coordination of this program. So this meeting yesterday was an effort to, the Coast Guard brought back Chief Harker. He's actually lives just over the line in Marston's Mills. He's volunteered to come over and help us out with our program. But they brought him back. He was one of the originators of the program, and bringing him back here in this region to bring a new emphasis to it and make sure everybody's up to speed and we're all communicating the same way and working out the same SOPs. So good meeting. He's also going to focus more on training. We were able to train two of our staff just over 2 years ago to the boat standard, the BOSAR standard for operating, which is required by national standard. But we haven't since then been able to get new members into classes. So they've committed after they just gave me 20 minutes ago, I got a date. They've got a date now for a boat class. They want to start training people again. So they train for free. And they train us to the Coast Guard coxswain level, which is amazing. So we're all working on the same training, the same plan. And we really need a couple more individuals. Right now it's just myself and two Lieutenant McNamara and Firefighter McPherson that are trained to operate the boat. So it's three of us. And we're doing about a dozen calls a year. So it's a significant amount of calls, and it's one of those high hazard, low occurrence events that we're worth spending money on training for. So that training is coming up April 27th and May 1st for the first week. It's a two-week training program. So that's the crew training class, and then there's a search and rescue class. It's about a week-long class that they're going to schedule after that's completed.
Will we be using our vessel?
Yes. Yeah, so the last class they did, they ran at Woods Hole. When I was working with Centerville Fire, we had a large amount of people we put through a program, so they came to Centerville and ran it in Centerville. Actually, there were numerous Kituit, most of them are gone now, Kituit firefighters that participated in that one. So depending on, I think Hyannis has, I think around a dozen, I heard, people they want to train. So depending on how many people and where they're from and what the Coast Guard's ability is to move resources around. They may have it at Woods Hole, and they may bring the program to Hyannis or to Centerville or to somewhere else. So it's still to be determined. They're waiting to see how many people sign up, and then they'll determine where it's going to be held. But we bring our boat to them and have the class with them.
Our new radio setup is completely compatible with
yes.
all the involved agencies.
We can talk to everybody, you know, anybody in the world in that boat right now. So
will the Harbor Master's office also be sending people for training?
I don't know. They train people to the same level. So they've got they typically train people to the same NASBO level as we're responsible to. It's a, it's a national standard. So there were Coast Guard people in this meeting with the Coast Guard. Barnstable wasn't there, but they also held a meeting in Chatham earlier in the morning, so they may have gone to that one.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good chance that Barnstable, Harbor Master will have people in the training program as well.
So, Chief, how many people do you anticipate sending to training?
That's going to be a budget question, which we're going to talk about tonight, too. So I don't know. First, I got to see how many are interested in going. You may only get one. I would like to have, you know, one person a shift at a minimum that's qualified for the boat. Right now we've got two people total, so that would mean at least two more people.
So if we go back to one of the original conversations we had about the boat in the police department, right?
Yep.
Would it be worth asking the police department to be interested in having somebody trained on the boat?
Yes. Yeah, we've made that offer several times to the police department and to the town and to the Harbor Master Department. So,
no, as far as being with us for this training specifically.
Yeah, I will reach out to both of them again and make them aware of the training program date and that they are welcome to train on our boat with us.
Okay.
So I will do that tomorrow and make sure they're on the same page.
Very cool.
But the cost for, I just ran rough numbers here.
It's a 40-hour course?
It's an 80-hour course. It's a two-week course. So the first one's a 1 week. That's a crew class. And the second one's another 1 week, which is the search and rescue and advanced operations. So the cost is a little over $4,000 per person in overtime.
Per person?
Per person. $4,160 is the rough guess, depending on at an average overtime rate. So.
And when do you have to give them a number?
They just reached out to me like 2 hours ago. I imagine they want something back in the next week or two with an estimation. They might not hold us to it. But I guess we can talk about the budget now. We've got some issues with IODs right now. And we'll talk about it later on. But best case, if everybody, the three IODs we have, come back the earliest possible time, we're looking at about a $7,000 surplus in our budget.
Surplus.
Worst case, we're looking at a $99,000 overage. So it's looking right now like there's a fairly – so two of my IODs have provided notes in this past week that their doctors consider them fit for duty. And they were both going to be seen by a district doctor. One's being seen tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. and one's being seen 2 weeks from today. So – and those are the two long-term IODs we have. I don't have any reason to believe they won't be back by the end of the month, which is the best case.
Yep.
The third one, which was a knee injury, is being seen the 28th, and I think there's fairly high likelihood he'll be returned to duty then. So I can't guarantee anything, but right now we're on track to hit the best case, which is a $7,000 surplus. But that doesn't. You know, depending on how things look in the next couple of months, that could still mean if we send two people to a boat class, we could be over.
So excuse my ignorance on this question. Is there money available in the training budget at this point?
No. So that number, the $7,000 surplus at best case or $100,000 negative worst case, is based on all wage to salary money being exhausted. So many of the counts, IOD is budgeted for $55,000, and we're going to be close to $200,000 on that one. So way over on that one. There's another account that was.
So we're not going to be, even in the best case scenario, we're significantly in the hole
best
on
case,
IOD coverage. It's bleeding every
yes,
other.
Yes, it's bleeding all the other accounts. So it's bleeding the training account. We had it. Best if we didn't have this IOD, we have surplus money in the training account. So in the training account, we have, I'll get to you real quick, we've got a significant surplus.
Well, we're moving that to the IOD budget anyways.
We're moving it to IOD, basically, yeah, which is being swallowed up. So right now,
we project a $53,000 surplus.
In training?
Yeah.
Oh, you heard it already? Okay, yeah, you're good. We budgeted $75,000 for training, and we spent $23,000. So we've got 50, what'd you say, 50-something thousand? Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm missing something here. So we have 53 left in the training budget.
In the training budget, right.
But that's only on
training
paper.
Salary.
Yeah. That's all, okay, so it is only on paper.
Right. All that surplus is already committed to covering deficit in
right.
IOD.
So in my mind, it doesn't exist.
So we've got, a dozen different categories for salary and labor.
Yeah.
And at the end of the day, we're appropriated, I think it's $1.6
million. $1.598.
And as long as we spend that or under, we're okay. So all those counts kind of bleed together. They're recommendations that we intended to spend this much on each account, but they're not. There's no legal requirement that any of those goes over or stays under.
So what would be the, so if we go back to, I get that with the budget, $4,000 per person, right? If we do the training, right, the 2 weeks, boat operations, SAR operations. So if that's the case, what would be the minimum we'd have to provide? Probably two people, correct?
The minimum is two. I'd like to send three, but we've got people that are, we've got one right now that's interviewing in another town and may well be gone soon. With turnover and retirements, two of the three boat operators are, relatively old.
Senior.
I think I just did. I'm one of them. So, anyways. I think it would be a good investment to send three people, and that's, we're looking at $12,000. I think we probably have to have an article marked up for the annual meeting for a transfer of funds. When it gets closer to May, I'm going to have a much better idea whether we need it or not. And it may just be dropped on the floor, or it may be modified at a small amount. Part of the budget for this year also is holiday pay. So we pay holiday second week in July, and it always has been paid with previous fiscal year money, paid in the first week of July. So I got to talk to our treasurer, but that's $24,000. If we hit best case and the treasurer says we can use next year's money, then we might not need a second article. We might be able to absorb it in next year's budget. But I'm not 100% sure of that possibility yet.
So if I could just ask back up for one more question, and maybe I missed it. We had talked several times about coming up with, and perhaps you presented it last time, did we ever look at the times the boat was used last year?
We did. I gave a report on that. I think we used it about a dozen times.
Yes, I thought. I
used it 12 times, I think, last year.
Okay. I remember the number 12, so I guess I do remember that. I thought
think that's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and that's fine, Chief. That's I probably just didn't print it out, so I didn't lose, I didn't stay with it. So anyways, I think, ironic, isn't it? It's $12,000 and it's 12 times what it's used. So
yeah.
To me, it's a good investment, so I would 100% support, getting three people trained if we have three people interested.
I've got the report here. We went on 13 calls in 2019, which was a total of 1.5% of our responses were marine responses.
And the average cost of response for the ambulance on a call is in the neighborhood of $2,000. The boat intervention is half that.
Yeah. This is not a function of having a bigger, more capable boat. This is a function of what the national standards are for responding in emergencies on the water, regardless of what size boat. The standard is you're trained to the BOSAR level.
I'm with you.
So recommendation of sending three people, is that what I heard?
If we have three interested parties, particularly among the younger guys.
I don't think you need to vote on it. It's just going to factor into money requests when it comes to the district meeting.
And that's when we have to do
the show, so
assessment and voting. Because right now, as you see, we have a little over $100,000 swing on the IOD cost at the end of the year, depending on how it plays out.
Right.
So we could either be okay and covered, or anywhere less than that, we're going to be going back with an article. for coverage regardless.
And we'll have a much better idea early May before the district meeting of where this is going to fall.
Right.
I'll know better 2 weeks from now, where it's by the end of the month, where it's going to fall. So.
So we can go forward with an informal recommendation to do that and revisit it at the March meeting to confirm when we have more data.
All right. Thank you.
Where are we?
Still in my report. Sorry. Yeah. I kind of sidetracked there with you. So next was Mashpee interns. I don't know if I mentioned it last time. We have two interns from Barnesville that have been working with us and huge, huge success. You know, some of the interns, actually Chris Gardner, our newest hire, was an intern at one point in time in the Barnesville system. So great opportunity to have people, you know, train and work with us. We've got two of them working out great. We were approached by Mashpee. I think I might have brought this up before. The Mashpee school system doesn't have anywhere they can intern their people for fire, so they're coming to us. So they have come to us. They're not interning every day like the Barnesville ones. They came for a couple hours here and there. And Lieutenant McNamara is working with the Mashpee school system. And
Chief, excuse me for one second. So the town of Mashpee school system does not have a fire department that they can go to intern?
They evidently, their fire department is not able to or doesn't have the resources to do that. So we
what
evidently
desire
have.
As it would be.
What's that?
What desire?
I don't know. I was told they didn't have the resources, and Lieutenant McNamara reached out to Mashpee to make sure there was no stepping on toes or hurt feelings, and they said, absolutely, if you want to train our interns for our school system, you're more than welcome to. So a lot of these interns are kids of our firefighters, and we're not going to say no to that.
No.
So we're lucky to have them, and we'll take any intern we can get.
Absolutely.
Other training. The guys did ice training last week and vehicle extrication last week, so it was a busy week. There really was no ice, but we sent two of our firefighters away to a training program in Maine. Firefighter Gardner and Firefighter Lee, our two newest firefighters, and they brought that knowledge back and had a 4-hour training program with all our staff, and they went over all of our ice rescue equipment, dry suits, deployed it in the water without ice, so they simulated the effect of ice there, but it was good to get them in the equipment, get them in the water, get them used to it, talk about what they needed. I guess the training went really well. They got some pictures that I'm waiting to put up on the web, but I don't have them here, so I'll get those. They came back, and the only recommendation, they said the equipment we have is great. Based on the professionals they taught with in Maine, the only recommendation they had was to get a, I think they call it a snare. It's some kind of a stick with a loop on the end that you grab animals with. So when you do animal rescue, you know, we don't have that, so people can get bit and hurt. Right? Other than that, we're good. So they were happy with that. They had a junk vehicle brought in. They did vehicle extrication in the lot next to us. The main reason for that was our two newest firefighters that hadn't used our specific JAWS vehicle rescue equipment. So that was a general drill, and that went really well, too. Again, that was last week when I wasn't here. They took care of that. Lieutenant McNamara ran both programs. Next month, they're planning on doing, using the building of 56 High Street, the abandoned building next to us. They're going to do another drill on that. So they're going to fill it with fake smoke and do a patient victim rescue off the second floor, out the window, over ladders type of thing. In a safe way.
Could you let me know on that? Do you have a date on that?
I don't have a date on it. I'll let you know.
Yeah, please.
Okay. Pro EMS, the report was attached. Personnel IOD, I think we talked a little bit about that. So we've got three current IODs. Two of them have given me, the two longest term have given me letters stating that their doctors think they're fit to duty because of the long-term nature of their injuries. We've made a decision to have them evaluated by a district doctor, which is what we did last time, too, so just to make sure that everybody's safe. So they're being evaluated, one being evaluated tomorrow morning, 1-2 weeks from today. So there's a fairly good chance both of them will be back to work by the end of the month, and the third one's being seen February 28th, and there's a possibility he'll be cleared to work at that point in time, too. So we could be better on that. We also have been told that one of our firefighters is interviewing in the department and has a fair chance of may well be leaving us to go somewhere else. So given the time it takes us to get qualified people to fill open positions, there is a possibility that somebody leaving could significantly affect our budget plan. So in the last application process, we don't have any applicants on file that are highly qualified applicants to hire right away. So we will kind of play that one by ear. And
but for the last couple of months of this fiscal year, we have the prior authorization for that 13th position if we get a very qualified expression of interest.
I will bring it to you and we'll go from there. So I think, you know, it kind of runs parallel to the contract negotiations, and I think based on the way that's going, and that may attract some other applicants from neighboring communities as well. So I think we're in a good position, but I think there is the potential there that there could be an increased expense as a result of situations that are out of our control.
Hence that $100,000 swing.
Okay, so that's not really worst case. So that doesn't take into account somebody leaving. That could make it worse than worse. That's just if none of the three come back for the rest of the year. If all three stayed out the rest of the year, we're looking at that. I don't think that's going to happen, but that's where we are there. Apparatus. The boat's inside. Lieutenant McNamara cleaned the bottom, did a great job. He just in the last couple of days has stripped off some of the old blue paint that was starting to peel, ordered new paint to paint the pontoons on the side of it. He's got the Coast Guard guys coming over to look at it and give us some recommendations on it. So that's good.
Did we get the spare engines taken care of?
Spare engines. I haven't gotten them taken. The guy I called never called me back. So, no, I haven't done anything on that. I'll have to call him again.
So we have the spare engines. You're talking about the winterization.
We do. So we really wanted to winterize those, get them stood up straight up on end, and get them you know, get the carburetors all blown out and make sure that nothing, there's no ethanol in there to congeal, and if we ever need them in the future, that they're ready to go. So, just they've been kind of crazy.
Yeah, because at the very least, to make sure the carbs are degummed and then fogged.
Right.
So, as you said, I mean, in an emergency, we want at least one of them that we
ready
can
to go.
Swap in and
drop
out
it on.
In a hurry.
Yeah, that was the idea in getting them. We want them ready to go, so they'll work on that. What else? For apparatus, I also have, I put down a capital request, so I don't know if we want to talk about it here or not. But
Before we get to that item, the status of the brush breaker.
We just had new tires put on that today, so it's got new tires. There is some corrosion issues that was caused by a leaky foam tank some years back. We went over it today. I'm waiting for the company M&R Restoration that redid 263 to come give us a real good quote on what it would cost to get rid of that corrosion. But we went over today, Lieutenant McNamara, the vehicle guy, and myself, and there is a little bit of corrosion, but it doesn't affect the operation of the vehicle. The vehicle operates as it should. Nothing's falling out of compartments. Lieutenant McNamara said he's going to work on sanding down some of the compartments on duty, on his own time, because that's what he does, and priming them up and fixing it up. So his recommendation, I think mine is too, going forward, is that we kind of put this off till next year, and I'll get some budget. We don't think there's a lot of work, so we think more than likely if M&R looks at it, they're going to say, you know what, $5,000 or $10,000, we'll have that thing looking like brand new, which is budget money. We can take care of that with end-of-the-year money and not create an article, which I think is where we're going to end up. Or we go look at it next year and say, you know, if we need $50,000 or $60,000, which I don't think that's going to happen. And I think if we were looking at that, then we need to have a serious conversation about whether we do that or not. If it's only a couple thousand dollars, I think fixing it and keeping it as a regional resource is a good thing. And that's what our plan is. So our plan is to get the quote from M&R, anybody else we can get to quote it. Plan on using end-of-the-year money, capital money, if we have it. And if we don't, and it's more than that, then wait until next capital year, make an article to either replace or dispose. So we're suggesting push that off for another year if it becomes a bigger capital issue, and if it's just a minor repair, then to get it done this year.
Chief, was M&I just purchased by another company?
No idea. I don't know. I just talked to the guy. I didn't talk to him. I emailed back and forth with him earlier in the week.
Yeah, I'll check the attic. I'm going to probably call and see you tomorrow. So I'll
okay.
All right. Have old, just as an FYI.
I don't know. He didn't mention anything. He said he was more than willing to come look at it as soon as he can get down here.
Capital requests.
Before, I want one more interjection. Sure. I'd like to back up to the Pro EMS report. When I looked at it, the ratings,
yes,
we had excellent ratings, but for one outlier, and that was a single call, a single run, a single respondent,
yep,
that looked like they gave, you know, the equivalent of straight Bs across the response table, and I didn't know if we had any particular. I mean, again, we deal with small numbers on that report.
We always do.
It's very tough statistically.
And they're
to
almost
decide.
Always straight A's. So
right, and every other run came in at straight A's.
Right.
So we have this anomaly of everything at 100% for all runs but one, and that one at I think it was 80. You know, the equivalent of like an AB.
Yeah, 80% straight across the board. So I've got the individual that was on the call, but I don't have what call it was or anything else. I don't know if I can get that information. I'm sure I could. Let me see if I can get that information. I'll give you a, I'll let you know what. See if I can find out what the issue was or what the call was and if there was any extenuating circumstances. I mean, we have some calls sometimes that are under unpleasant circumstances for
right.
people that have made decisions that they're not pleased with themselves. So,
right. And nothing about the experiences.
Nothing about the experiences right. positive. So that is a possibility.
There is also
given the individual listed, I have a hard time believing it was a negative
right.
attribute to that individual, but
that was my feeling as well,
yeah.
but there is the phenomenon in these rating scales, not just in this type of instance, but almost across the board. You have people who believe that 100% it represents an ideal. Their bias,
right.
their response
right.
bias
right.
is towards starting at a lower ceiling.
Sure.
And unfortunately, the way the data is usually compiled in that process, that counts will show up as a real significant skew on the data, even though it reflects more response bias than the actual event.
Right.
And it's very tough to parse that out. But if you can get any.
I'll see what I can get.
Yeah.
See if there's any extenuating circumstances. Our EMS officer reviews all the calls and he hasn't identified anything that I should know about.
Good.
So I will, but I'll go over it again just to make sure there wasn't something I missed there.
Good. Okay. All right, thank you for that.
You want to talk about capital or?
Yeah.
Yeah. So, capital requests. On the capital plan, we had planned, we do a 10-year capital plan.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, the only item on the capital plan for replacement was the Chief's car, 261. It was 2014. Makes it 6 years old now. We had shot for a 5-year replacement plan, so we're at about that. I got prices on that.
How many miles on that, Chief?
74,000 miles. So 74,000. Over the last year, we've started to put some more money into it. Wheel bearings, brakes. Transmission feels like it's slipping a little bit sometimes, but you know it looks good. It drives well. It's not horrible. It's just when you have something that's an emergency vehicle, you want to try to keep something that's ready to go all the time and doesn't have mechanicals. And as you know, with your own cars, at some point in time, things start getting more expensive. So that's what we planned on. This is certainly up to you. And the other budget proposal is going to come, that I'm going to propose for the next fiscal year is a deputy fire chief. So with a deputy fire chief, I would need another vehicle for the deputy fire chief. So what I put in here was I get quotes for the two vehicles, the two chief's vehicles, one for the chief, one for the deputy. We would need one new one and the replacement of the one I have. I've got quotes.
So, Chief, just so that I catch up, I apologize. So you're suggesting that in the event that we did go with a deputy chief, that person would inherit your vehicle, or are you suggesting a new one for that position as well?
I was suggesting to get rid of mine and get two new ones.
Okay.
That they said that the vehicles are going up 5% next year. Again, not a huge number, but it is more than the typical jump. But the cost of these vehicles are going up 5%. The cost of one this year with the lights, the light package with the siren lights and the installation of the radio is $4,000. And the price of the car, I got one price which was high, and I am going back and getting one that was fairly stripped down. It's basically the police package they have. It comes in at $39,800. So we're talking $44,000. This is $39,800, and the lights and siren were $4,150 or something like that. So it's just under $44,000 for one vehicle. They said the trade-in on mine, nobody evidently wants Expeditions. They are very unpopular. They said the trade-in's $4,000 to $5,000.
Oh, so that's an Expedition.
Yeah, the one I have is an Expedition. We were trying to move to Chevy. The mechanic that helps us out at COM once in a while does Chevys. COM has all Chevys. We were trying to keep it consistent. Most of the other chiefs around here have the same exact vehicle, the Chevy Tahoe. So this is a Tahoe that's, you know, it's a no frills for the most part. They're nice vehicles. But I can give you the specs on it. It's what they call the police package. It's a vinyl floor that they add a little rug into. They put different seats in it. They add some tow hooks. It's got room for storing all our equipment. And it's just got a light and siren package put in it. Like I said, the vehicle itself is the state quote price is
So I'm looking at some. Why am I looking at Liberty Chevrolet at 48?
What's that?
What I'm looking at says 48710. Liberty Chevrolet.
This is Liberty Chevrolet. They're out of Haverhill, Mass. This division of Liberty specializes in municipal vehicles. This is a state contract price for Plymouth County Commissioner's bid price. And this is you have the quote online from us?
Yes, it's 40. That's what I'm confused about, guys. It says 48, exactly what you described.
Oh, I put the other one on it. So I had a nicer one first that they came in at 48. He folks me a new price today, which I don't have there. So here's the new one.
Okay.
Pass that down. The new one is more stripped down than that. It's the same vehicle, but it's a different package. It's the police package, which is cheaper. And they've got more of
no fuzzy dice on it?
Got no fuzzy dice, no. No leather seats, no fuzzy dice. So it's total of 44 each. So you're looking at $88,000 for capital for this budget year, which I guess a lot of money. And, you know, we could get one car, so I have a total of two, and then trade the one I have the next year. That's a possibility. Although next year our capital items we're looking at, the only thing we have really scheduled is maybe the inflatable, which is fairly expensive, and the brush breaker, if that needs significant work or needs replacement. That would be on the schedule for next year. Following year is the ambulance, and the following year after that is the backup engine.
So this is something we would put on for the town meeting, correct?
It would be an article for the town meeting. It's article money.
And as part of that conversation would be the conversation about assistant chief.
Right. That's part of the budget proposal. Yes.
Right.
So our budget proposal that I will kind of bring forward to you includes a deputy chief position.
Okay. So why wouldn't we use the pickup truck for the deputy chief? Fairly new, deputy chief would have access to it, the deputy chief would probably be around most of the time. Somebody, either you or he, would vehicle would be at the station at any one point in time, probably, or available to all.
Great. That's certainly possible. Some of the problems with that are the three-person duty crew we have now, they're out doing inspections, they run errands, they need a vehicle to do that. If they can either all go in an ambulance or an engine, in that which case you take the other unit out of service. So if they're out in the ambulance, they can't respond to a fire. If they're in the engine, they can't go to an ambulance call. So a lot of times they'll send one person out to pick up. They either pick up food, do an inspection, do a mechanical errand, run stuff to the dump, pick up things up. So it's a general service vehicle. They use it for secondary personnel coming in to respond to ambulance calls. It's got lots of uses. Sure. For the deputy fire chief, they typically are going to carry with them an SCBA, all their fire gear. I've got all my scuba diving gear. The expedition I have now, is the back seat is full to the ceiling. And they also use it for their personal use. And the reason we allow that for myself and for them is that whenever they're in that vehicle, they're available to us to use. So I pick up my kids in it, I do errands in it, and whenever I'm in the vehicle, my radio's on. It's on all the time, but I'm available to turn my lights on and go to a call. So the district gets a benefit from letting them use it, and it's not a high cost. It's a $40,000 cost to have somebody at your beck and disposal, basically. Yeah.
What did that pickup truck cost, you recall?
Budgeted utilities. We budgeted $56,000. I think we appropriated $60,000 in that. I think we spent just about $60,000, and that was the truck with the plow.
Okay.
So it's a more expensive vehicle than what.
Oh, right. Exactly
yeah.
What I was asking towards. Yes.
We have two budget processes to address pretty quickly. One is the mid-year report on the current fiscal year, which was in the data package, and which we need to go over tonight. These items speak to what has to be finalized in the next month for the budget that gets sent to Prudential for review. So these options, in terms of one vehicle, two vehicles,
no vehicles, yeah,
also float on how we end up as we get word from the treasurer about tax assessment and rate. Our objective remains trying to bring our budget in with as modest a percent increase as possible, but we have to address needs at the same time. So my inclination is to say, since there obviously this is not something we can act on within this fiscal year anyway.
No, but
it's worth having the data and understanding what we would have to put together by way of a package proposal to the annual meeting. And that involves some tiered decision making about what's going to be doable and what this year's end of the year is going to look like. So I'm not adverse to bringing the proposals to the meeting under the capital expenditure item. We don't have any other significant warrant as things stand now until we know what, if any, warrant we have to bring to get retroactive funding to cover any IOD deficit.
We have no, the air packs are all set, right? We don't
yes,
have
they
any,
are.
Yes.
Air packs, radios, there's a small housekeeping warrant that has to come up for past bills from prior years. That's small change. The brush breaker we've already talked about that. Until we get a sense of whether or not we can be good to go out of current operating capital, operations money, they may be able to not show up in the 10-year plan for another couple of years. So we have a degree of flexibility, but right now we need to find out more, both in terms of the IODs and returns.
Yep.
This is a decision you're going to have to make not this district, not this commission meeting, but probably the next one.
Correct.
So I wanted to bring it to you now.
Right.
Good idea to think about it.
Yep.
And when the next meeting, you're going to have a proposal for a complete budget for next fiscal year, and part of that will be one, two vehicles, and
attendant warrants that have to go with it.
Right. By then you'll have an idea of which way you're leaning or thinking, and we need to make a decision at that meeting, I think.
I agree.
Chief, I know you started to say, I may have interrupted you earlier, trade-in value of your truck. Did you get a number on that, or that's $4,000?
They said $4,000 to $5,000.
Okay.
I may buy it. I don't think I'm allowed to.
Probably not.
I can make a motion.
We could make it a district vehicle, but I don't think that. We'd actually talk about making a district vehicle, but I don't think having that
around has a whole lot
of value. So we have enough vehicles. We don't want to try to carry another one.
I agree.
We did. You mentioned radios. I forgot to mention. We had a meeting, a lot of meetings, last month. The state came down and talked about the 800 radio system. Have I already talked about this?
Yes.
I'm repeating myself.
Tonight you did not.
Did I talk about it before?
Yeah.
I did. We're getting new radios. State's buying us like $90,000 in new radios for free.
This is part of the switch over to digital.
The new digital system, yeah.
I didn't hear that last sentence before, though. You talked last meeting,
okay,
about the likelihood and the fact that the state is sniffing around, but they're going to pony up money to actually...
That's the word, yeah.
Wow.
It hasn't showed up in our accounts or anything, but that's what they said.
Just for the record, they're not free. We pay for them one way or another.
Yes. Yeah, you pay for it. It's a 911 cell phone tax that pays for it.
Yeah.
So I'll prepare a budget for next meeting that shows two vehicles along with all the other proposals, including the deputy, and we'll talk about it as a package. And you can vote on which way you want me to go, and it'll be prepared for the...
And I'll schedule time with you over the next couple of weeks to go over
sure.
the budget. We haven't had the opportunity to do that yet.
That'd be great.
Right. And we're also going to have to bring Commissioner Zasa up to speed
yes.
ahead of the next month's meeting.
Yep.
Because
when is he back?
Sometime right at the end of the month is my understanding. So he'll have, excuse me, he'll have at least 12 days.
I did review it with him prior to him leaving. I showed him the budget and showed what I was proposing. So
oh, good.
He's seen it. He's been exposed to it. So
all right.
He shouldn't be new to him.
He's not starting from ground zero.
No.
Okay.
Yeah,
we're through apparatus.
That's all I got. Facilities, I promise you to bring you outlines for the station and floor plans, and I have nothing. Been a busy month, didn't get done, so
yeah.
I'm working on it. I will be working.
Chief, along that line, since we mentioned facilities, and I think this is probably an old conversation, but are we comfortable with the locks that we have in place now? Front door been fixed, side doors, back doors, everything secure?
They're secure, they're marginal, they're starting to break down, they're sticking a lot, they need to get replaced. And that's part of the plan, is to put a new security system in place. But most of the time, they latch and they lock. Sometimes you got to check it, because it doesn't always latch.
Right, so I've been a vocal proponent on doing something from a security system point of view.
Yep.
However, there's... Open Cape, there's a lot of other conversations that go as part of that. Open Cape and other conversations have nothing to do with fixing locks, replacing doors, or whatever it is.
Correct.
You know what I mean? I'm not correct, right?
Yes, so we have article money to do exactly that.
Okay.
Separate from Open Cape or any other discussion, correct, yes.
Okay, so is that going to be part of budget conversations for next year, for that for next fiscal to be done?
No. We have the money appropriated for it.
Okay.
The district appropriated $100,000 last year for station renovations.
Okay.
We have the money in an account. It needs to be spent within 5 years. So the money is in there. Part of that is to do the offices, the partitions, the security, rugs, paint. It's all part of that, but the security is definitely part of that. And
right.
It's already been appropriated. We have the money. We have
okay.
the funds. We just have to get it done.
Right. So, and is that the same procedure we had to do relative to, so if we were to address just the doors,
But to me, it's separate issues, right? The physical safety and the physical security of the building is different than, unless you're going to, than a camera looking at it, unless you're going to put a buzz system, locking system in. And I don't think that was ever part of the conversations.
No, it was just, we talked about a security system, and that, you know, there are different types of security system, but that, yeah.
No, you're right, but my only point is if you're tying security into the door, that would be that part of the conversation. If that's not part of our conversation, then, and if some of those doors aren't 100% secure, which means they jam, they don't lock, you know, or whatever else, and for that matter, even the individual rooms, because I get concerned that, you know, whether, you know, Joe, Bill, whoever has something in one of the rooms,
right.
You know, that room should be secure while that person leaves. So there's nothing keeping us from doing that with that cash, and do we have to go out to a bid process for that?
There are thresholds.
Right.
There are thresholds, and we will hit one of the thresholds. We will either have to go with a company that has already bid on a state contract, which I think is what Comm did. We can go out to bid. If it's under $10,000, we can do best business, you know, sound business practices. So there's a couple different issues. One is most of the doors are rotted, so most of the doors have to get replaced. So that's have to get done at the same time. We have to replace the doors and the locks, and some of the door frames. Most of the interior doors have to get replaced as well, and then there's going to be new interior partitions and doors added. So if we're doing locks interior, you know, you can make the argument that we should wait until the interior doors are in place before we start talking about locks. But no, we can.
So I'd make the
we can elevate the security up to a little higher level and say, you know, security's got a higher, more important than doing interior offices and at work area. Yeah, I understand that, and we can certainly start pushing that a little harder.
And I, you know, I thought about security, I thought about the doors.
Yep.
To me, again, is once a perimeter is secure,
right,
then other conversations can happen, in my opinion.
Yeah.
The last thing in the world I want to have happen is somebody be able to call and somebody, you know, because the door was left ajar on the side or the back or whatever
right.
It was, somebody find their way into the station and do whatever havoc they want.
Right. No, I agree. I will. It's just been a busy couple months here with
the
budget and everything else we have going on, but I will move that up on the list and try to get that done.
I am not casting stones at all.
No, I know. Yeah. I know. But I agree with you. I don't disagree. It's got a higher importance that it needs to get done.
Fair enough. Thank you.
We can't really underestimate the degree of impact that all these IODs have caused in terms of short staffing and overtime and the chief covering. And it's set back a lot of our other processes.
No, I
we're catching
again,
up.
Right? I do. I get it. And I'm not casting any kind of stone at all. I think it's
a
wonderful job. I think, frankly, I think the department has come together in a way that's good, the way they've handled themselves.
Reviewing my list, the half year and projected budget for the current fiscal year.
Is that in here?
It's in that package. Okay. This is a printout of it.
You want the projected, the half year budget, mid year budget presentation?
Yeah.
You want a hard copy of the presentation?
Oh.
I get two. You have
you
one.
Two?
Yeah.
Okay. I've got one. Sorry, guys, I didn't get to these things.
The salary line items I pretty much understood without question, particularly with the note that you posted about the other full-time. In the operations, did these fees, were they raised?
Which one?
This year, CMED fees.
CMED? No, nothing's been raised. CMED. So No, I don't think so. We pay that once a year, the CMED fee. So the way the budget presentation shows is it says expended. So we budgeted $4,000. We expended
$2,300.
So the computer says, you know, that's the first 6 months. So if it was repeating, but that's a one-time fee. So we should be under budget on that.
Okay. So that and that same process skews the 911 dispatch.
So 911 dispatch, we budget $37,500.
Which we pay all at once, right?
Which we pay $37,534, and there's only one-time payment. So I should fix the budget presentation because it says projected doubles for the next. You know, it's a computer assuming that your second 6 months is the same as your first 6 months.
Yeah, so that's a dead.
Right,
so
and that occurs again in fire and rescue equipment and in building supplies.
No.
No, just fire and rescue equipment. Or we?
No, fire and rescue equipment is. See, we spent more. So part of the issue was fire and rescue equipment. We budget $10,000. We spent $9,000 for the first 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
Part of that was the upgrade to the new SCBA, the Scott system, the air breathing packs.
Yeah.
We didn't budget for the RIT packs, so the firefighter emergency response packs, and some of the electronic equipment that was added on. So we used some budget money to add on to that. The little pieces are expensive, so. We don't anticipate a lot more expenses in that account, so we should be close to budget on the account, but we incurred more of those expenses in the first half of the year is what that means.
Okay.
So help me understand there. We budgeted 10, we spent 9.
Yes, and the computer assumes that the second half of the year you're going to spend another 9,
okay, but
which
you're
not.
So. Right, so you're saying you don't think you're going to spend much more than that $900.
We could spend more than $900. I don't know what we have on the horizon, but it's not going to be $9,000 more. We may overspend the account by a few dollars, and a lot of the other accounts will probably underspend by quite a few.
Yep.
Overall, on operations, we're looking at spending 91% of our funds, not 100%. So we should turn back in 10% of our appropriated funds.
Okay. I would just request that for the presentation of this to the Prudential Committee,
yes,
that we have footnotes covering those items that
okay.
we touched on in terms of the three items
sure.
where the projection is skewed.
Because it was a one-time payment and not
right.
a two-time. Yeah, it's not a
so that we're not adding to any confusion or distress.
Okay, I will add that to the notes.
So I'm kind of curious here, Chief, on
yeah.
fire prevention.
Yes.
Zero expended?
Yes, it's been.
It was $1,200.
$1,200, 0%.
It was operations, right?
Yep.
Third up from the bottom.
Okay. Fire rescue, fire supplies, fire prevention. Yeah, $1,200, expense zero. So fire prevention money for the first half of the year, we get grant money every year. We got senior safe grant money. And our fire prevention activities have been oriented towards seniors, smoke detectors, providing safety equipment for them, and that's all been paid for by grant money, so we hadn't touched the money.
Okay. Grant money's paid for it.
Grant money paid for that, so we didn't use any of the appropriated money. We probably won't for the rest of the year. We don't need to. It'll probably just go back.
Thank you.
In the information technologies item, where we have a significant surplus projected,
there's a lot of those are second end of the year payments that come for our IT supplies, so it won't be that. Most of those fees come due later on in spring. I don't have them in front of me what they're all going to be, but we should be on target for information technologies. We just in the last month replaced a couple of computers too, so my computer died, and now I've got this mobile computer where I take it with me and use it in the car and everywhere else. And we've also moved everything to the cloud, so none of my files are on my computer. You can run it over, throw it out, hand me a new one, and everything's still there. So,
mm-hmm. Okay, so again, for the presentation, if there was a footnote about that fact that in
okay.
the information technology fees, they all come due, or a substantial
okay.
amount comes due late in the year,
all right.
that the computer can't pick up in the projection.
Right. We have that. We replaced this one in Chris's computer over the last month, which isn't reflected in this because this was as of the first 6 months of the year.
Mm-hmm.
So there was another, I don't know, $4,000 that wasn't reflected in there.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I was pretty good on everything else except on the salary and wages. The longevity pay, is that also skewed by when the payments are made?
It's just when the payments are made. We must have hired more people or have their anniversary dates in the first 6 months of the year rather than the second half. That's a fixed figure. That is what it is. It should be 100% paid, period. We shouldn't go a dollar over.
Okay.
It's the same with, you know, a lot of like personal time. Vacation time. Vacation time shows as being 11% over. I think, you know, we assume everybody uses all their vacation issued for the year. Anything they carry, they will continue to carry over at an average overtime rate. So I think more people take vacation in the summertime than in the wintertime. So that's the 11%.
Okay. Other than that, I think our presentation to Prudential for the mid-year report is in hand. And
when is that scheduled for?
That's the Prudential meeting next third Monday.
Third Monday.
It's
February what?
February 24th, maybe.
February 24th is a Monday. 1, 2, 3. The third Monday is 17th. It's next week.
It's not next week because I'm not here next week.
I have it scheduled on the 24th. That's right.
What time? Yeah. So the
5 o'clock.
Here?
As far as I know.
They don't have it scheduled on their website yet. I don't know.
I'll try to attend that.
Sure.
And then in March, Monday the 23rd, at 5 o'clock. Is the budget
23rd?
Mm-hmm.
So I'll present whatever budget you approved at the March meeting to them then.
Okay. That concludes everything I've got. Any new business? You want this?
So,
I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I have a motion to adjourn.
Second. All in favor. Pisano?
Finally.
We are adjourned.
Thank you.